Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Okay, the verse says this, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Then it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? So he's the idea is he's talking about sacrificing to idols, which in our culture seems rather strange, but in the Oriental culture, this is obviously a problem that they have. Verse 20, he says this, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You would think that that's a norm. But he's got to say that. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask that this would be helpful in our age as demonic activity is fast growing more and more, and people are becoming more and more absurd with these things. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see what the Bible actually does say about these things and that what we can do about it. Each of us individually as believers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in verse 21-22, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Okay, and so he's obviously giving us polarities here. On the far one side would be God, and the far other side would be the devil. Now, the idea of those two beings, God and the devil, you're seeing, if you've lived long enough, have some of you noticed that Halloween is becoming more gory, graphic, and bizarre? I mean, it used to be you might put a jack-o'-lantern up, you know, a pumpkin, you might put this up, but now you're seeing people putting dead bodies, you know, items of dead bodies in there, and skulls, and, you know, spider webs, you know, and devils. And obviously, Halloween's getting more and more gory. The idea of it's getting more and more real, what the real motive of it is. Our culture seems rather strange, but down in the Catholic cultures, they honor All Saints' Day on November 1st, and the evening before Halloween or Hallow Eve, Eve of the Hallow of All Saints' Day. Down in Chile or in other cultures, they actually go to cemeteries and have a picnic by their loved one's cemetery plot. I don't know if they say hello or if they telephone them or whatever. But they actually put this stuff on, which seems rather gory, but people don't think about it. The idea of this Halloween and Christians participating in it and everything, the deeper meaning of the day is revealing itself more and more, and people are being conditioned, to accept these ways of the devil more than anything. Can you imagine if a kid grew up in a Satanist home, if there's such a thing, but obviously there is. And can you imagine a bunch of Satanists, you know, with their gothic, and on Christmas morning they walk up to their Christmas tree and have a little baby Jesus in a manger, you know, like they believe in that. And granted, I don't buy into the Christmas thing, but still the idea, I don't think the devil's side would be flirting around with Christianity. Do they flirt around with Christianity? But why is it that Christians flirt around with the devil's crowd and they think they're going to get away with it? Or not be affected. I'm not affected by it. Okay? But obviously, demonic activity is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's going to affect us. It's going to affect all of us. And what it does, it provokes God to jealousy. In verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? If a person wants to serve God, the devil's going to fight him. If he wants to serve the devil, God's going to fight him. If they're going to try to get out of a fight and say, I'm not going to worship either, then both of them will fight them. And we're not getting out of a fight. Now, the devil is a master marketer. He is a master marketer. Where he could sell an ice cube to an Eskimo in the dead of winter. That's what kind of a marketer he is. They wouldn't need that. But he can sell evil to be something that's fun, exciting, and a blast. Man, it's cool. Now, if we believe the Bible, if you talk to the average person about God or the devil, they want to believe in a God that's good, that's ultimately good, but yet when things go wrong, he always gets blamed for it. Now, when they think of the devil, they want to think of something very passively. They don't want to think that there is such a creature, a dark, deep creature, as the Bible would say, that has these intentions. People don't want to think about that. And so they're thinking passively about the devil, but they're thinking about God. They want to believe in a heaven, but they don't want to believe in a hell. And so if the Bible's true, and there's no doubt in my mind, you have on one side ultimate good on one side, and the other side you have ultimate evil. And it's interesting, the idea of good, if you drop the O, you have God, and over here you got evil, and you add a D and you got the devil. Now, what is the ultimate desire of both sides? Well, on this side, the ultimate desire is to voluntarily use words to try to draw you to himself and say that, I can give you anything. I want to give you a home in eternity. I want to be your pal, your friend, and I want to do all this stuff. Now, I know you've sinned and all that stuff, but I've offered you something that you can rectify that, and I want you to do that voluntarily. Now this side, if we are to believe what this Bible says, this side described as a red dragon that has a personality that would like to take every single one of us by his big paw or big hand and eat us. Eat us slowly. And as we're sitting there and blood is coming out, lick the blood off of our body. And he doesn't care about your screams, your moans, your yelling, your crying, your fear, your terror. He has no concern of that. He's just going to sit there and slowly eat you up because he gets energy out of that. Now, that's the ultimate goal of the devil. That is his ultimate goal. Now, I get on YouTube once in a while, and I type in nature stories that I like to watch, in nature stories, you know, and lions killing something, a gazelle. And you sit there and watch that stuff, you know, and it's gore. Where does that lion come up with these ideas? It gets that from the devil. Now, how can Satan get all the... Now, where are we at? You got ultimate evil, ultimate good over here, and you and I are in the middle somewhere. Somebody that really wants to know the Lord, they're probably way over here, maybe fanatical, trying to seek him. And then you got your gothic, you've got your people filing their teeth off, filing their fingernails, painting them black. You know, I've met these people. I remember Billy down in Rensselaer. You know, he's filing his fingernails. He's just dabbling. You know, playing around with Satanism. Or the girl that my wife led to the Lord down in Remington. She was a Satanist. She got out of it. She got out of Satanism. She was, you know, over here where he's over there. And in their coven, they asked her to bring her 2-year-old kid. And so she decided, okay, I think I'm out of this. You know, and she got out of it. But the sad fact is when somebody goes this far down and they decide to get out or verbalize getting out, that's when they're dead. They'll be the next sacrifice. I was talking to a guy in jail, a Christian guy, and he said, well, I'll go to Satanist. He's a good friend. He's a good guy. And I said, he's a good guy, huh? I said, he finds out you're a Christian, he'll cut your throat, pal. He said, yeah, he told me that. And I said, and he's a good guy? I said, you're not dealing a full deck. We lived in Colorado Springs for 2.5 years. And it was understood that America's largest Satanist church is in Manitou Springs. It's underground. And it's also understood, it's an unwritten rule, that in order to be a mayor, in order to be a police, chief of police, you have to be in the Satanist world. We had a young man in the church that his brother was a Satanist. And we met, there was a lady in the church that was a nurse in the hospital. And back in the 80s, the witches would come to the hospital and ask for the aborted fetuses so that they could offer them up in sacrifices. Now, I'm telling you, that's the dark side. Thank God I've been naive to that stuff. But that's out there. And it is becoming more obvious. They're not hiding it now. All this used to be hid, but it is not being hid now. People, if people go to the average library, go to the youth section, you'll read vampirism. We had a little hayride at the Rensselaer for the Rensselaer on Wednesday night, and I took this young girl home. She's a freshman in high school, and she's describing to me what she's going to do tomorrow night on Trick or Treat. I'm going to dress up as a vampire, and it's going to be gory, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I just said, I had a friend that was a vampire. A real one. Really? Why do you want to be a vampire? I asked, because you live forever. I said, they don't live forever. I said, if you want to live forever, Jesus Christ has got you a wonderful plan. If that's what you want. I said, now what a vampire does, they might extend their life because they can live off the energy of the blood of another, but they often do this through force and deception, and so if somebody's not willingly a part of that, now that's all facade, but you think about that. And so after I explained a little bit to her, she said, well, I've been wanting to go to church. They just don't know. And then now the Twilight series, it's kind of fallen by the wayside, where in many churches are promoting this idea where this one boy and this one boy is like this one girl, and he was a werewolf and he's a vampire. And her pet, well, at least she stayed pure until she got married to him. He's a vampire? Well, he just drinks animal blood, and that's okay. You see, these are the two polarities we have. We have a God on this side, ultimate good, who wants to lovingly have a relationship with every single person. He wants it to be voluntary. And we've got a being over here that ultimately wants to slowly kill you and eat you. If that Bible is true, what's the Bible say? 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Satan is walking about as a lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Is that literal? Definitely it's literal. There's a car company in Italy that has a symbol on there of a red cross on one side, and it's got a dragon or a serpent coming up on this side eating a man. Why? They're advertising their intentions. Now, why do they have a cross beside something satanic? The reason why this is can this being over here get people to voluntarily follow him of their free will and volition, with the goal in mind that I'm going to be eaten? Obviously not. So how does he deceive these masses in the middle? How does he deceive them to get over there? I'll tell you how he does it. He comes back over on this side and he acts like this being. And when you see God working and the devil working, they're almost working side by side. This is why if you go to government buildings, you will see satanic symbolism, an inverted pentagram, right beside a cross. Because they're working side by side. Even in our Bible, we have, in 2 Samuel 24, where I think that one says the Lord moved David to number Israel. And in 1 Chronicles, it says Satan moved David to number Israel. But the idea, basically, is that Satan is a master marketer. He's not going to give out his true intentions. The God over here does. And what are his intentions? His intentions are to have a friend for life, for eternity. That's his intentions. If you would, go to Mark chapter 5. Now, this is the ultimate person way over here on this side. He's way over here. Now, if you're way over here on this side, people in the middle will think you're fanatical. And if you're way over here on this side, people in the middle will think you're fanatical. And if you ever cross some of these people, it's a rather interesting conversation. And so everybody else is in the middle somewhere. So which side are we heading to? Do we want to go to a God that voluntarily lets us know exactly the truth about everything and he just wants to be our friend? Or do we want to follow over on this side where ultimately what he wants to do? He wants to land us in hell and laugh at us throughout eternity. And that's what the devil is. That's where he gets comfort. Now, why did God set this system up? He wanted a friend. He wanted a friend. He wanted somebody to voluntarily become his friend. And if you don't have an evil to choose, how do you know? If he doesn't have the evil, then everybody's a robot, and that's not fun. So Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is the ultimate person. This kid grew up on Dungeons and Dragons and Pokemon, and he had read all the series, you know, of Harry Potter. I mean, he'd played the Ouija. He's probably been smoking weed, going along with it. I mean, this is the crowd. He's been drinking spirits. That's what they call it, spirits. And he's way over here. Now, when a person gets way over here, when they start recognizing the end result and they're trapped, they got a problem. If they recognize what their end goal is and then they see God over there, that's where this kid was in Mark 5. That's where he was. Okay, so we're going to read down through a little bit about this guy, Mark 5. The gospel according to Mark, he only writes about one character, but there are two. Mark 5, verse 1. There came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So it's a homeless guy living in a cemetery. Okay, so that's where the guy is. Now notice very precisely, this is the definitive chapter on it. An unclean spirit, but singular unclean spirit event becomes multiple devils down in verse 10. Now, before I read any further, I did a little study on the word devil and devils in English. The word devil and devils occurs four times in the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament, only four times. The word devil, actually the word devil doesn't show up. Devils, plural, shows up four times from Genesis to Malachi. When you get to the Gospels and Jesus Christ shows up, the word devils and devil shows up 83 times in four books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, why is that? It's when Jesus Christ shows up, guess who has to show up at the same time? Because he is infatuated with Jesus Christ. The devil is infatuated with the Bible. He knows the Bible better than anybody. And he's infatuated with Jesus Christ in that he is trying to deceive everyone to stay away from Jesus Christ. The words devil and devils occurs 12 times from Acts to Philemon. So it drops considerably. And it occurs 18 times from Hebrews to Revelation. So it starts picking up again. And doctrinally that goes into the tribulation. So in Mark 5, here's this guy. He's a weird character. Maybe you've never met anybody like this. Praise the Lord. I have. I have met some folks that are dabbling in this realm. Bill Snedlin was definitely not dabbling. He was stuck in this realm, and he is an exception to the rule. Bill there are thousands that have died where they got to the point where Bill Snedlin was. He is an exception. And so, you know, through the years, I've seen this, I've watched this, I've watched how people behave. We've seen it on the streets. Okay, and so here's this behavior, verse 3. This is a guy that has a bunch of them in them, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Okay, they could not bind him, they could not tame him. They could not scare him, they could not love him. Their emotions are passive, and that's what a zombie becomes. And of course, kids are talking about being zombies nowadays. A zombie is a person in a passive state. That is the ultimate. That is the ultimate reaction, is a passive, apathetic state towards anything. You can't love them. You can't scare them. They're passive. Okay, what is this guy? Look at his reactions. Verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains. Okay, Manitou Springs ultimately was called Garden of the Gods. It was the god Manitou that the Indians worshipped, and the devil set up residence there, or a residence there, and that's why Colorado Springs, next to Manitou Springs, that's why it is the most prevalent satanic activity in the country. We lived there for a couple years. Kay and Milton lived in Manitou Springs. They live in a house they called the Castle. And Kay said she got pushed out of beds multiple times, and reactions and feeling things and just weird. And the owner of the building asked him, "You're not one of them Satanists, are you?" And so that's what we got introduced to these things, you know, which I would rather not, but you learn to deal with these things. Notice his reaction. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, excessive crying in the chapel, and cutting himself with stones. Body mutilation. Have you seen them where they take hooks and put in their skin and then they hang up by the skin? Okay, that's demonic. That's somebody mutilating their body. The body piercing, you know, there's a saying, back to the Bible or back to the jungle. America is going back to the jungle. If you read the old National Geographic where they go into the jungles and they've got bones in their nose and in their ears and in their stretching the girls' necks out, and they must evolve from a giraffe or something, and they're doing all this mutilation of the body, that's where Americans are at right now. Why? It's because of the increase of demonic activity. It is fast growing. This weird and abnormal behavior is becoming the norm today. Body piercing, tattoos, gothic, zombies, vampires, sodomy, infatuation with death, skulls. Okay, and that's where it's heading. People are dumping the Bible, so they go right back to the jungle. So he says, crying and cutting himself with stones. So is he an atheist? He's definitely not an atheist. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, who motivated that? Either the man or, I doubt, the unclean spirit inside, but yet who knows what's going on inside here. Verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." That's the unclean spirit. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." Bipolar, tripolar, quadruple polar, 10,000 polar, who knows? Split personalities. Okay, and then it says, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And that is not normal for a hog to do that, running down a hill like that. Okay, if you doubt that, try to load hogs on a trailer and see the fun that you have. I would suggest a 2x4 on a snout or a shocker. And then you watch the tail go zoo, 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 zoo when you hit them in the rump. Okay, and so why are these beings, these unclean spirits, seeking this? Okay, they have to have a body in some fashion to indwell, in order to fulfill their bidding. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ talked to the man, but he talked to the being inside the man. And there's not only one, but there's hundreds and thousands of these. And you could also, you could often, if you become accustomed to these things or witness for the Lord Jesus, if you study people's eyes and watch their eyes very closely, you can almost see the devil manifest itself and come out of the person. You can almost recognize it. Rarely does their voice change and say, I love the devil. That stuff is rare. Why? That's not going to work. That's not going to deceive Christians. How can the devil deceive Christians? He's got to act like a Christian. You deceive sheep by acting like a sheep. And so that's why he's infatuated with it. Most of the demonic activity I have seen is in church with Christians. Be professing, being confessing, it matters not. And so there it is right there in front of us, verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled, told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting in clothes. Look at that. Guy put his clothes back on. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. In his right mind. Now this is, you see, this crowd in Gadara, the ones that was keeping the hogs, 2,000 hogs, man, lost all that money. They're in the middle here. They see a rabid fanatic over there. Oh, man, I don't want that. And then they see Jesus over there. Oh, I don't want that. So they're stuck in the middle. And now this person over here who's seen what's going on wants out. He sees what's going on. It's amazing to me. People over here, and they flirt over there, and they see the flirting with the devil, and they think that that's not going to affect them. You don't pet a cobra. I mean, petting a cobra is not a smart thing to do. But somehow, some ways, people think that they can pet a cobra and get away with it. So here's this individual. Very strange. We had a case in Colorado Springs. We were street preaching in the Acacia Park. And I watched this guy walk from a quarter mile away, and I could see that he was going to interfere with us totally. He beelined it right to us. So I tried stopping the guy, and he went right up to the guy street preaching. And the guy was street preaching, and this guy was yelling, and he was yelling. They were back and forth, yelling back and forth, not at each other, because the street preacher ignored him. And he just kept preaching. And then this guy standing right next to him, yelling at him. Now, Ken, if you've ever tried... You see, people are surprised with, you know, how I can go with the flow with some things going on in church. You do that, anything goes. Okay, and so finally, the preacher stopped. This guy stopped. He sat down. We started talking to him. And he was major demonized. I mean, he was cussing us, telling us all this stuff, and just ripped, you know, into us. And then we got so tired, after 10 minutes, I said, if you don't shut up, we're leaving. We're out of here. Oh, I'll shut up. So he had a battle going inside him, just like this kid. This kid, the devils inside him wanted to keep going, but he wanted Jesus Christ. And so he had a battle. This guy, the guy we dealt with, had this battle going on, and we went through the gospel presentation with him, and he could not pray. He couldn't cross that barrier. So I said, can you say the word Jesus? He said, yeah, Jesus. I said, okay, that didn't work. Because sometimes they cannot even say the word Jesus or Jesus Christ. And again, you're dealing with multiple devils. So what we did, we just led him through a prayer. And as soon as he said amen, boom, he dropped on the floor, on the ground, the concrete, and just, oh, I'm so tired. And what happened, Jesus Christ came in and the devil skedaddled. They had to go find somebody else to indwell. Probably a family member of his, because that's often what they do. And from then on out, never one, nary a cuss word from that man. It was nothing but, I am so thankful I saw you guys. I am so thankful. God bless you fellas for coming out here. Man, I'm watching this. I'm thinking, this is weird. That was my first. This is weird, man. No, that was God. That was a person who had been down this path, and he was way over here, and he was reacting towards the preaching of the gospel. But yet there was a part of him that wanted it because he knew where he was heading. Never saw that guy again. We couldn't get him to church, never saw him again. It's an amazing thing. You see, the idea of this thing as far as Mark 5, this is a strange thing way over here. And that is somebody that has multiple in them. Can a person have one or two? Of course. In the Bible, it uses the dove as a picture of the Holy Ghost. So a dove is considered a clean bird, and that is a picture of a clean spirit. So the contrast is unclean birds, picture unclean spirits. Noah let out a dove first, picture of the Spirit of God, and then let out a raven. And what did the raven do? The raven went out and feasted on the dead bodies of the people after the flood. Why? Ravens, crows, buzzards, vultures, starlings, blackbirds are all pictures of unclean spirits. Flies, mosquitoes. Jesus was called Beelzebub by the Pharisees, and that means the Lord of the flies. So unclean spirits are small winged creatures. And if you get talking to Christians about this and you say, have you ever considered maybe a spirit is influencing you? How dare you say something like that? Well, haven't you ever been bit by a mosquito? Who do you think you are? We all have been affected. At this time of year with Halloween and the sacrifices that are going on behind in the woods or in the mountains, all this influence affects us. It affects God's children. And so we have to recognize that if a spirit of apathy comes over me, or a spirit of passiveness, or a spirit of lethargy, why? Why did that come over me? We have to check ourselves. Years ago, I was talking to a guy about the King James issue. And after an hour, he said to me, are you telling me I'm speaking of the devil sometimes? And I knew what he was thinking. He's thinking, I'm a good, godly, dedicated man who knows the original languages. You can't be telling me I'm speaking of the devil. And I just looked at him and smiled and said, I'm glad you said it, not me. Because I know I can speak of the devil. None of us are immune from these things. I mean, we got animals around the place. You can get flies when you got animals. I mean, we're not so holy we don't get flies in our house. I mean, if I snore, they'll probably fly in around my mouth at nighttime. Who knows? But the general thing, idea is that if you know somebody's got some absurd behavior, whether it's demonic behavior, and they've got 100 flies buzzing their head and they come and knock on your door, do you think all the flies are going to leave with them? And so we can be affected. We can be affected. If you would look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So here's the wonderful thing about this God over here. This God over here recognizes that we are in the middle and we are looking both ways. He understands that this being over here is going to use all his tactics, appear to be good. He's going to transform. He's going to shape shift to appear to be a good godly man to deceive Christians. And this God over there has given us a Bible so that we can see the truth from the air. And this God over here has also given us access to the Spirit of God who's greater than the devil. The blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, I would say that's where we're sitting, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now that person that departs from, are they saying, no, I'm going to be a Satanist? No, they're not thinking that. They're departing from the faith. Now, that entire chapter is about that. What is going to help all of us overcome this problem? Had a gentleman write me this last week, email me, and said, man, I hate to admit this, but he said, I've just been really having a lot of doubts. And when I just read the email, and we had to take off someplace, and I just shot him an email back real quick and said, you are normal. Don't worry about it. I'll write you later. Why? Because we all have those issues. It's like that man in John 9 when Jesus said, I'm going to heal that boy. And his dad said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And so I basically told this fella, you know, about the, hey, grew up in a Christian school, goes to church. And I said, okay, when you get them feelings of lethargy like that, ask the Lord to cleanse you with his shed blood. Why? Because that's what the devil does. He causes us to doubt. Now, our solution in this chapter is if you keep reading down, go down to verse 16. He says this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save ourselves from what? Verse 1, departing from the faith. So, discouragement, depression, doubt, these things are coming from Satan. So what does a person need to do? Well, I would suggest first cleanse yourself of the shed blood of Christ. Get a blood bath. Do that on a daily basis and sit back and think, okay, is there a God? Well, let's go over this again. Well, I know, I may not know what's right, but I certainly know what's wrong. I may not know how to fix a car, make it run right, but I certainly know it's not right. I got to figure it out. You know, I painted Lindsay's fender on her car and it looked good, it looked beautiful until about 3 days later and it's all different colors now. So now I got to figure that out. I must have put the wrong primer down on the plastic fender. Plastic is so much different to paint than metal. I mean, it's pretty psychedelic. I just know it's not right. Okay, and so I got to figure out what to make it right. The solution is get on YouTube and type it in and figure it out. I didn't wash it with soap and water. Okay, and so a lot of times we may not know what's right, but we certainly know I didn't evolve from a monkey. That is scientifically impossible. Science proves that. Okay, so that leads me to God. Then you look at all the religions. Well, all of them are saying you got to do something to get utopia, your nirvana. And then here's this one over here by itself, Jesus Christ offered for everything. That's obviously a difference. Then you see all the versions. Well, I know the NIV is a piece of trash. I know the New American Standard is a piece of trash. I mean, they're inciting that the devil is Jesus Christ. Well, then I got this King James Bible. I mean, it's got to be right. And that's how we overcome those things, continue in the faith. But we got to take heed to our spirit. If we can catch up when they're small, the problems are emotions, our moods, our feelings. And just say to the Lord, Lord, I know that you're greater than this world system. I am dead to this carnal body. I'm dead to that, and I'm asking the Spirit of God to minister to my spirit. Cover me, soak me in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord has given us. That's what the Lord has given us in this age. Apathy or passivity is evidence of an influence of unclean spirits. And we're not going to flirt with the devil and get away with it. The Lord wants us to love him more, and this hopefully would draw us more to this God over here. What does this God want? He wants a good time for you and I in eternity. That's what he wants, and he's offering that to us free. What's this God over here want? He wants to cut your throat and drink your blood. That's what the Bible teaches. Do people believe that? No, people don't, but they discover it when it's too late. It's too late then. Then they get taken out. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this idea, these thoughts between good and evil. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize that you have given us all the capability to love you and to follow you voluntarily. But yet, this world, the influence of unclean spirits, Lord, the devil's crowd is vastly growing. Vastly growing. And now it's to the point where they're not hiding some things. Now the fangs are coming out. Now the truth is coming out. It's being quite evident. The devil's getting more bold and proud. And he's recognizing that people are getting more deceived. And he's not hiding it. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to recognize these things and help us to come to thee and to thee alone for our help. And ask you to cleanse us with your shed blood. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. The altar is open. The age-old argument, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, can you get bit by a mosquito? Doesn't matter if it's inside or outside, the influence is still there. And so it's the blood of Jesus Christ that becomes our shield of faith. We come to the Lord and ask the Lord to strengthen us and to relieve our doubts and ask the Spirit of God to help draw us to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for the promises of the Word. Thank you for what this book does say. Thank you that also we can verify the words of this book by looking at things in other places. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to love your words more. In Jesus' name, amen.